Amen. Good to see y'all this morning. I appreciate you being here. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1.
Brother Raymond texted me last night and asked me if I was going to be in Matthew chapter 16 because we didn't want to be in the same book. Amen. If you would, in honor of God's Word, let's stand to our feet and want to bring a message this morning that probably is a lot on many hearts of many people, maybe the minds of a lot, concerning the things that may be going on today and what is God doing, where is God in these things. And so, may the Lord have a word for us today that we may hear it and understand it. And we appreciate that. Brother Kevin, I appreciate you bringing a friend. That's your friend, right? You think so? All right. Won't you introduce to us real quick before we... Chris. Amen. Thank you for coming, Chris. I appreciate you being here this morning. John, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Look at verse 31 of chapter 1. And God saw that everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Look at chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Look at chapter 3 and verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubs, a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. What happened? What in the world happened? Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the day. I thank you for the word. I thank you for our visitors this morning. I thank you for the members. Their faithfulness, their steadfastness. Lord, just coming, just wanting to worship you and hear from you. I pray, Lord, that you'd take the Word of God this morning and apply it to our lives. God, that you'd convict us of our sin. God, that you would open our hearts today that we may receive the things of God. God, make it more clear today on what happened from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to the day, Lord, when you made man, and Lord, and placed him in the garden, and to the day when you had to drive men out of the garden. God, I pray that you'd help us to understand it more clearly. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're facing things such as terrorists going about to cut the heads off of people and to bury them into the ground alive, putting them in cages and putting them under water. We find great hurt and great pain. We see that all through the world, innocent children starving, innocent children sick without any health care, innocent children being abused by mothers and fathers and by brothers and by others of the family or friends or neighbors. We see all in our land teenagers and others today that are an addiction of drugs and alcohol. Find that sexual activities and the diseases that go along with that is rampant, not only in this country, but in others. We have seen in the past of the Nazis slaughtering millions of the Jews, crime rise, the cruelty and corruption and the injustice in our government, the pollution, the nuclear waste and the acid rain and the tortures and disease and deformities. And disasters and sufferings and killings. Is that really the world that God created? Is that really this morning a place that you and I would say, well, that's my world? What happened? Is God responsible for all this? And I could go on probably all day telling you all the bad things that takes place and all the killings and all the death and all the disease. And all the deformities and all the troubles and all the trials of all of life, all over the world. Is God responsible for that? How could God be so cruel? The question was asked. Maybe God's really not in control. What really is the world in the world is going on? What is going on? I guess a better question this morning out of our scripture would be, is not what is really going on, but the Bible really asks to answer the question is, what happened? What went wrong? Not what's going on, but what went wrong? From Genesis chapter 1 to all the way to chapter 4, and even in chapter 6 when there was a flood. It was only 1,500 years from the fall of man to the flood. That's not very long. What does the Bible declare about these things? Well, I'd like to begin this morning in trying to explain all this chaos it seems to be in our world today. How did it get there? Why is people so harmed and so hurt, so much suffering that's taking place? I want you to notice, number one, paradise. Paradise is the place that we're going to begin with because that's the beginning of the Bible. Here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, of course, we already read it, and it says this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We find that word God there, it means the supreme God. It means the God creator. It means that He is the God of all gods, the only true living God, the eternal and existent God of eternity. We find that according to verse 1, that whatever is going to be created will be created in God's plan. It's God's plan. And so when He creates the heaven and He creates the earth, He creates all of heaven and all that's within heaven and all of the earth and all that surrounds the earth and on the earth, we can just mark it down in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 1. It's just God's plan. It wasn't your plan. It wasn't any other plan. It wasn't another God's plan. It was God's plan. Bottom line. So whatever it was God's plan. Number two, it was God's will. And so when God created the heavens and He created the earth, it was God's will to do so. We've got to get this point to understand where we are today in 2016 with all, it seems, of the chaos and trouble and suffering and drug abuse and alcoholism and sexual revolution and all the divorce and all the disasters of homes and broken homes and dysfunctions and disorders and all these mental places that people are in today and all of the diseases that we hear of and the sicknesses that we have. Oh, what in the world went wrong? And we just got to understand it was God's will to create the heaven and the earth. It was not only God's plan and God's will, but it was God's choice. There'd be no heaven, there'd be no earth if God didn't choose to create it. There'd be no heaven and be no earth. There'd be no place you call America. There'd have no place called home today. And where you're sitting right now, and when you get up in the morning to go, you'd have none of those opportunities if it wasn't for God's choice to create heaven and create earth. So we got to understand immediately this morning that in the beginning, God. Was God before the beginning? Yes. Was God at the beginning? Yes. Is God after the beginning? Yes. And will God be after all this is said and done? Yes. Your issue this morning and my issue this morning is God. You can dismiss Him. You can say He's not real. You can say there's no God. You can say here's a lesser God, there's a bigger God, there's many gods. But the bottom line is, it's one true, living, supreme, a self-existent, eternal God created the heaven and created the earth. It was His plan. It was His will. It was His choice. And that is, you've got to accept it, just as it is. Got no choice this morning. In verse 1, I'm going to show you how it was God's will and God's choice and God's plan. He says in verse 1 of chapter 1, verse 2, it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said in verse 3, God said. So whatever God said, it was done. Amen? He's the one who spoke in existence the cow. He's the one who flung the stars in the sky. He's the one who hung the moon in the world. He's the one who created by just speaking it. You say, well, there had some kind of be some evolutionary process that took place. Some big bang that had to happen. No, in the beginning, God, and then God said. That's all it was. So not only is it God's will and God's choice and God's plan, but then He says, God called. In verse 5. And God called. So whatever there is that we have today is because God called it to be. God said it to be, and then God called it to be. Now you'll find these words throughout chapter 1 of Genesis in the way of creation. I'm not going to go through all of them, but you'll find where God said, you'll find where God called. Verse 6, and God said. Verse 7, God made. Verse 8, God called. Verse 9, God said. Verse 10, God called. Verse 11, God said. Verse 12, my third point is not only did God say and God called, but God saw. In verse 12 it says, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind and tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So God said, God saw, and God called. You know who it's about? It's about God. That's what it's about. And so we find that in paradise, it was completely about God. Now, look there in verse 12. He says, God saw that it was good. In verse 18, the Bible says, and God saw that it was good. In verse 21, the Bible says, God saw that it was good. Look at verse 25, the Bible says, and God saw that it was good. Look at verse 31, it says, and God saw that everything that He made, everything that He called, and everything that He said, everything. Not anything was evolved from nothing. It wasn't an explosion. It wasn't some type of a mystery about where we come from and how we got here. It's not a scientific question. It is a God question. And the question is this: God said, everything that I made, everything you got on earth, everything you got in heaven, even heaven itself and earth itself, I have made. I called it, I said it, I saw it. And guess what? It's very good. At this point here, paradise, that word very good means beautiful. So God said, I called it, I said it, and I saw it, and it is very beautiful. Beautiful! I said, God said it was beautiful. You know what it was? It was beautiful. Why was it beautiful? Because God said it was beautiful. You say, you're really narrow-minded. Oh, I'm real narrow-minded. If God said it, I believed it. Amen. And so He says, everything. Day one, day two, day three. These are literal days, evening and mornings, by the way. 6 days it took for creation to be made and all the earth to be made. 6 days. So day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, and day six. At the end of 6 days, He says, now everything that I have made is very good. It's beautiful. It's precious. That word very good means precious. Thirdly, it means ready. Ready. So all that I made, all that I called, all that I saw, all that's about me and me only is now ready, precious, and beautiful. What went wrong? I mean, if we could stay right there in that very precious and beautiful and ready, what took place? Well, I want you to notice, not only was it God's plan and God's will and God's choice, but it was also God's desire. Now I want you to notice the change here in chapter 1 to chapter 2. If you notice in chapter 1, it says in verse 3, God. Verse 5, God. Verse 6, God. And on and on and on. You come to chapter 2, and you'll find chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of them, and on the seventh day, God. In verse 3, it says, God blessed the seventh day. And then in verse 4, something changes. The Bible says, these are the generations of heavens of the earth, and when they were created in the day that the Lord God. The Lord God. So chapter 2 has done went from God the Creator to God the Creator that has covenant with His creation. That word Lord there this morning, it means Yahweh. Yahweh means this morning that the Supreme God has a covenant relationship with what He has created. So now we have one side where God said, I created it, I saw it, I called it into being, and so be it. But now He has chosen to be known God, but He has chosen now to have a relationship with His creation. Thank God for that. The Lord God. The Lord God now is the Supreme God, of course, yes, He's the same God, no different. He says, who now deals with all the necessities of life for those that He created. And so now God takes on not only the making and creating of it, but now He says to them, I will provide the necessities and necessaries of life for you because I'm your Lord God. We've got fellowship, we've got relationship, we've got worship. The Supreme God who is now personal and manifests Himself to those that He created. Look what He says. Verse 5, the Lord God. Verse 6, verse 7 says, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Verse 8, the Lord God. Verse 9, the Lord God. Verse 15, the Lord God. Verse 16, the Lord God. Verse 18, the Lord God. Verse 19, the Lord God. Verse 20, the Lord God. Verse 22, the Lord God. You know what He's saying? He's saying that I have created a man formed out of the ground named Adam. And out of Adam came Eve. And those two, Adam and Eve, have now become in relationship with Me, have become in fellowship with Me. They are now My responsibility. They are now between Him and I. And I have created them to be personally with them. He maintains their spiritual intercourse between Adam and Eve. And so we find through all His creation, all the animals, all the trees, all the fruit, all the land, all the stars, all the planets, all that you would call that's ever been created, God was not the Lord God to any of that, but to Adam and Eve. Does that make sense to you tonight? God created everything, but God chose to take mankind and be Lord God to mankind. Bringing forth that now He has a spiritual relationship with them. Because God is Spirit. You must worship Him in Spirit and in truth. God now is having fellowship with Adam and Eve now. Not with the sun, not with the stars, not with the fruit, not with a dog, but with Adam and Eve. He has sweet fellowship with them. He's got relationship. There's worship going on in a spiritual sense because spiritually God is moving in and through Adam and Eve on a daily basis, on a daily walking in the cool of the day that God is there and God's talking and they're responding to God and there's communication going on. There's worship of God, of them worshiping God. There's a being, a Lord God as a father and a child. Very important to know what's going on today, how it all started. If you don't have time to hear what started, then you're not really concerned about what's going on today. If you don't want to believe how I got started, well, go ahead and live in your limbo life. And go ahead and live in your doubting heart. And go ahead and live in your unbelief ways. And die and go to a devil's hell because you don't want to believe what it says in Genesis. Talk to a tremendous amount of people today who don't want to believe in the creation account. They want to believe in some kind of evolutionary theory or some kind of Big Bang theory or some kind of other nonsense. It takes greater faith to believe in something than that, than to believe what just God said. So now we find that paradise is finished and complete. It's ready. It's ready for man. He's to eat anything and everything of the herbs. He's had dominion over all the animals, cows, fishes, and fowls. He has now a wife called Eve. Now they're in relationship. The Bible says to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And we find everything in a perfect manner, in a perfect way. Paradise. Ready. He says, very good. So we find life just being grand. Life being relationship, fellowship, worship of God. Just like God wanted it. Let me talk about the next subject, not only paradise, but we'll talk about people. People. Chapter 1 in verse 26, God gives us a detail on how He made people, Adam especially. He says in verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." Us is not singular, it's plural. And so what God is saying is I'm making man in the image of God the Father. I'm making man in the image of God the Son. And I'm making the man in the image of God the Spirit. Our. That's what He says. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. What is He saying? This is what He's saying. He's saying that however the Father is, however the Son is, however the Spirit is, I'm going to make Him in our nature, in our likeness, and after our image. In other words, man's going to have a personality. Like the Son, like the Spirit, like the Father has. I'm going to make them with a nature, my nature. I'm going to make man with spirituality. I'm going to make man with a morality. See, God has a nature. God has personality. God has spirituality. God has morality. I'm going to make him with emotions. God has emotions. I'm going to make him with intellect. God has intellect. Spirit, Son, the Father. I'm going to make him with conscience. And I'm going to make him with a will. I'm going to make him with a choice. Because I'm going to make him in my image. And if they're going to be in my image, and they're going to be in the likeness of me and mine, and the Spirit of God, and Jesus Christ, my Son, and me, the Father, well, then they're going to have a will within them, because it was my will to create the world. It was my choice to make whatever I made it, and how I made it, and what I made it to look like, and how I made it to last, and where it went here, and hung there, and did this, and did that, and the ability to make the characteristic of it, and how it was going to walk, and how many legs, and how many eyes, and how many noses, and I have made a choice. And so man has now been made with this choice, with this will, with this personality, with this emotion, with this nature. That's when it says that when man was made, he's made in the image of God. He's not saying in a physical sense. But he's saying in a nature sense, personality sense, emotional sense. You say, well, man, the Father, I understand the Father. Let's use your emotions for a moment, then we'll move on. The Father, I can understand the Father, you know, having emotions. But the Son, well, the Son, the Bible said He cried. Jesus cried, Jesus wept. John 8:35, the shortest verse in all the Bible, Jesus wept. That'd be a verse to remember. Amen. A memorization verse for next month is John 8:35, Jesus wept. See, you can say now that you memorize the verse. The Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says, is grieved. That's an emotion. Oh, yes. The only way, the only reason this morning that you and I have emotions is because God has created us in His image. The only reason why you and I have intellect, the only reason why you and I have personality, we have nature, the only reason why you and I have intellect this morning is because we're all created in the image of God. All of us. The only reason, or we'd all be a tulip. You'd be running around here like a butterfly. That's what you'd be. Some would be you might not want to be a butterfly. Say, okay, well, then you'll be a worm. Whatever you might think that you might be, that's what you would be. You wouldn't be what you are today without being created in the image of God. Do we understand that? So we thank God for that. But what God didn't do with man, because God is divine and man is human, God is infinite and we're finite. What He didn't do, and God did it with a purpose, He did not give us the knowledge of what's good and what's evil. He didn't need to. It was unnecessary in the paradise and where God in the garden there. Why would He give us who is made in the image of God, in a perfect state, not having any idea what sin is, have no idea of what evil is, what good is. None of that at all appeared to the mind of Adam and Eve. And so they were in the garden with all ready and all preparedness and beautiful and preciousness. And God said, listen, I'm going to make you in the image of God, everything I mentioned, but there's no need that you would have the knowledge of good and evil. Need of that. So, are you with me? I want you to notice this morning that man was made in the likeness of God. It says that there in chapter 2, in verse 3, down to verse chapter 2 talks about the image of God and the likeness. But I want you to look there in the Scripture, chapter 3, and I want you to look at verse 5 of Genesis. Now the serpent come to him, the old serpent, which is Lucifer, the devil. God doth know, God, now Lucifer the serpent is speaking. He said, God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. Now what's going to make them be as gods? At this point, they're not as God. They're made in the image of God. But what will make them as gods? I'll tell you what will make them as gods. Knowing good and evil. Look at verse 22. After the sin has taken place in the garden, now the Lord said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. Sure enough, the Satan was right. By the way, Satan's right in a lot of things. That don't make him saved because he's right. And that don't make him go into heaven because he's right. Don't get mixed up with this thought, because I'm right, I'm righteous. Or you're saved and going to heaven because you're right. No, that's not the way that it is. So Satan, he knew that once Adam and Eve would know what evil is and what good is, then they'll be as of God. And so then, God even said that in way of confirmation. Now they did eat of it, and now they're like one of us. So we've got to do something now. We'll talk about that later. So we find that man was in the likeness of being God. See, Adam and Eve come to the place under the influence and under the impact of Satan himself. Not unlike me and you have to face today in 2016, we still have to face the temptations. We still have to face the attack of the devil. We preached on that on Wednesday night. And so we are facing it, they faced it, we faced it. They were in paradise, they were perfect, they had everything beautiful, everything ready. We're not so lucky with that. But there came Satan. But more than Satan, we can't say Satan made them do it. We can't say Satan made Adam take of this fruit. We can't say Satan made Eve take of the fruit. What was it that would make Adam and Eve take of something that God said, don't take of? I tell you what it was. It was in their likeness of being God. That hasn't changed today. There's a great movement amongst our country and amongst other countries that you can become like God or that you can become a God. Mormons are headed that direction. Many cults are in that direction. Many people who have their own religion, like that lady that who's the richest lady in all the world? Oprah has her own, and one of her ideas is that you can become God. That's the mindset of Adam and Eve right here in the garden, that they, in the likeness of being God. And so we find, you say, where do you find that at? Look at verse 6. He says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. The tree to be desired to make one wise. What do you mean? I mean this, that she looked upon that. She heard the words of Satan. She heard the words of the devil. And she said, you know what? I think I desire to be God. Did you ever hear that before? We always blame it on deception, right? Oh, Eve was deceived and Adam was disobedient. That's all true. But the bottom line is Eve, as well as Adam, the desire to be God. I wonder why they got that from. Verses 5 through 6, let's look at that here in chapter 3. The choice not to depend on God. See, the Bible says in those verses 5 and 6 we just read, and when they took that fruit, you'll find that it was a choice not to depend on God. You see, up to that point there, God said, I have given you everything there is to have. You need nothing more. You know what they made a choice on? The choice was not to depend on God. In other words, God provided everything they needed to live. God satisfied them with all His creation. And God was the authority of His life. But they chose to eat of something that was forbidden to eat, because they decided they didn't want to depend on God any longer. That's what happened in paradise. You know what happened today? People choose to be like God. How do they do that? By not depending upon God in their life. Not depending upon God to meet that need, to feel that satisfaction, to take that void, to look to Him and to love Him and to worship Him and to follow Him and to obey Him. They choose to do something different than that. And the ultimate goal of that and the ultimate motivation of that, the inner heart of that, the main movement of the soul is that I can be like God. I don't have to depend on Him. I'm a big boy. Choice not to depend on God. In verse 6, the choice not to obey God. You see, chapter 3, verse 3, we find that God placed his tree for His purpose. Verse 16. Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God placed that tree on purpose. On purpose. Chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible says that you are commanded to abstain from the tree. You can't get no clearer than that. God created everything. You say, okay, now let's stop right there. Why would God create a tree and put it in the midst of the garden? Something that they can't touch, they can't have, they can't partake of, or they can't do anything with. Isn't that a provoking thing for God? And you missed already the first point. God said, I'm God. It's my plan. It's my choice. It's my will. I can do whatsoever I will it anytime I want to. I'm God. And He chose to put the tree in the midst. He said, don't eat it. That's what He said. So we that are followers of Christ, followers of God, you obey. Adam and Eve should have obeyed, but they chose not to obey. They chose, He said, now if you eat of that, you shall surely die. Verse 17. In other words, God declared death if they violate His commandment. It's always been that way. The Bible, Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. If you don't repent this morning, you're going to die and go to hell. That's what Jesus said, but it ain't Jesus sending you to hell. It's your not repenting that sends you to hell. So we find all through the Scriptures. What happened was there in chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Which, what happened? God put the tree in the garden. God said, don't eat the tree. They ate the tree, and they died spiritually. There's now no more fellowship with God. There's no more relationship with God. There's no more worship of God. Why? They chose not to obey God. They chose not to depend upon God. That's what they chose. They wanted to be like God. All that God made them was not enough for them. The choice to be like God was the problem. And the tree to be desired to make one wise, exactly why they ate that tree. It didn't matter if it was in the midst. It didn't matter if it was on the left. It didn't matter if it was on the right. It didn't matter what it was. Then their heart's desire, they wanted to be wise like God. And that is to know evil and good. That's why they ate the tree. They ate the tree because they disobeyed God. They ate the tree because that's why they failed. Now let's look at this word knowledge here for just a minute. Then we'll close. You got to come back after lunch in order to get the end of this thing. It's going to be a good commercial because you get to eat. The Bible says, verse 17, but the tree of the knowledge. Now that word knowledge there, you take that word and this word is can be understood that it means knowledge by experience. See, it wasn't enough that God gave to Adam and Eve and said, don't eat of this tree, the knowledge of good and evil. See, it wasn't enough that God said to them, good and evil. All right? God said, don't eat that because it's good and evil. Okay, well then that's okay. No questions asked. That's fine. You're God. You created everything. You said everything. I'm okay with that. I'm good. I'll depend upon you. And I know I'm made in the image of you. I've got a lot like you. I'm a lot like you. And you give me choice and will in my life. And okay, listen, I choose to obey you. I choose to do what you say. And evil, I don't know really what that is. Good, I don't know what that is either. But you know what? That's up to you. See, they wanted to determine what evil and what good is. You follow me? See, it's one thing for God says to you, saying a cuss word is evil. Let not evil communication proceedeth out of your mouth, what God says. You say, okay, God, I hear you. All right. Well, I won't let cursing. I won't let profanity. I'll not lie. I'll not gossip. I'll not do all these things. And so I'll not let evil communication proceedeth out of my mouth. I'll not do that. I won't do that. Because God, you said not to do that. But what many of us choose to do, we choose to have knowledge by experience. And they chose that too. They said, listen, God, I know you said it's a knowledge of good and evil, but we want to partake of that tree because we want to experience good and evil. We want to determine what evil is. I hear people all the time saying, well, you know, a little glass of wine is not evil. It's not wrong. It's not sinful. It's just you don't get drunk. See, you're trying to be God. See, you want to determine what evil is. You want to determine what good is. And that's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. They had in their mindset, in their heart, listen, I'm not interested in what God thinks evil is or what good God thinks good is. I want to experience myself so I can make the determination whether evil is evil and good is good. And that's where we are today in 2016. Everybody goes about and telling God what good is and what evil is, and God said, I'll not have any of it. You don't choose what evil is. You don't choose what good is. That's God. Adam and Eve come out of the garden because they wanted to determine what it was, but they wanted to do it by experience. You know, God did not want them to know evil by experience. Do you? Do you want to have your children zapping as a parent? You'd say to a parent, you'd say, okay, listen, now I don't want you to commit adultery. Because adultery will destroy your home, destroy your life, destroy your family, destroy your children, destroy your name. And you say, listen, I don't want you to commit that, okay? But the child or the kid or the young man or young woman decides, you know what? I'm going to go out there and commit adultery anyway. And then they come back and they say, you know what? That adultery, it had destroyed my family. See, it wasn't good enough for mom and daddy to tell you it would. You had to go experience it yourself. A great parent, a wonderful parent will warn you against that. And that's what God did with them. He said, this tree is a knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat it. They partook of it. Because they wanted to make determination of what evil is and what good is. When everybody's born, we're born in that same nature. We want to determine what good and what evil is. Everybody's born in the likeness of Adam. God didn't want them to experience good and evil. He didn't want them to. But he did. My question to you this morning is, whose fault was it that Adam and Eve ate of that fruit? Is it God? The gainsayers would say, you know, God created the world. He's sovereign. He knows what's going to happen. He's in charge. He's in control. I mean, why would God allow that? Why would God allow something like that to happen? That's the mind of a lost man. That's the mind of a human. Christians, don't ask those questions. What happened to Adam and Eve on that day when they decided that they want to make the determination of what evil and good is? They died spiritually. See, when you die spiritually, you can't have the ability to understand spiritual things. That's why only you can figure out physically, or you can figure it out by having some intellect or having some sort of physical way rather than spiritual, because spiritually you're dead. You'll never understand what took place in the garden without Jesus Christ being your Lord and Savior and the Holy Ghost of God coming into your heart and eliminating you, illuminating you, and giving you a mind to understand these things. And so many people say it was God's fault and God did it. He could have stopped that. He could not have allowed that. He could have did something different. And we find today all the unbelievers in the same pool, mad at God. But you know what? The truth, because the truth is given to us today, wasn't God's fault. It was their fault that they wanted to become like God, knowing evil and knowing good. My third point, and I'm not going to finish it, but I started it, because I want you to notice, where did Satan come from? I mean, he just showed up on the scene. I mean, in chapters 1, chapters 2, we don't mention at all about him being created, but yet he was created. Where did he come from? In chapter 3, verse 1, all of a sudden the serpent shows up. I'm going to tell you why the serpent shows up. He shows up because of pride. I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14, and I know you're getting hungry and your belly's growling and those kind of things. You ought to be more hungry with this. Chapter 14, verse 12 says, hope you're there, Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Never understood how people can get to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 looking at me. I don't know how that works. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? Thou didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. You know what caused Satan, the most beautiful cherubim ever to be created? With heaven, working with God, pride. You know what he wanted? He wanted to be God. So it's no coincidence that he comes in chapter 3 of Genesis, and guess what he's trying to convince the humans? Hey, you can be God too. You can choose what evil is. You can choose what good is. It was pride. It was pride that Satan came down in the form of a serpent in chapter 3. It was pride that Adam and Eve took the fruit. It was pride. It was pride that you find that Satan had another motivation. And it was the chain of command in God. You see, God is now has an enemy called Satan. And he's going to disrupt and he's going to try to destroy everything that God has and God is part of. He comes down. He convinces them that they can be as God. Sure enough, they came as a God because knowing good and evil. But then he destroys the command. The command of God is God, Adam, Eve, and then creation. Is that right? God's first. Adam came second. Eve came third. And creation. That's the order of command. God's above everyone. Adam's above everybody else below him. Then Eve and then creation. That's where it is. God always has an order of command. The order of action that took place. God spoke to Satan. Satan, you're going to be cursed. In verse 14 of chapter 3. He spoke to Eve. Eve, you're going to have sorrow in thy conception. You shall be the rule of your husband shall be ruler over ye all the rest of your life. And then the plan of action was Adam. Adam, you're going to sweat by your brow there. You're going to work and you're going to labor and thorns and thistles in verse 18. And, you know, you're going to have a tough time in this deal. You shall go back to dust as you came out. The order of responsibility was that Adam was first. God said, Lord God called unto Adam, because he's the head. And then he called on Eve. And then he called on Satan. Satan tried to turn that chain of command, that authority. Oh. Satan seeks to overthrow God. He didn't do it. The Bible says, in Adam, we all die. In Christ, we're all made alive. This morning, you can choose the way of wanting to be your own God, determining what evil and what good is. You can determine what right and wrong is. You can determine what is holy and unholy. Yes, that'll make you as God. But friend, you'll find yourself being an opposing to God. You'll find yourself in a place away from God. Tonight, or just after our lunch, we're going to continue on with Cain. And I'm going to prove to you and show you what kind of individual there is when you decide you want to be your own God. It don't work well with you on this side of the earth, and it don't work well after you die, neither. There's only one God. And there'll not be two. And so for you thinking that you can choose what right is and what wrong is, you got another day coming. I'd ask you this morning, dear sinner friend, won't you just give up? Say, Lord, I'm going to stop trying to figure all this out. I'm just going to turn from my sin, Lord, and I'm going to trust You as my Savior. Trust You as my God. I want You to come to my life and make me what You want me to be. And I'll surrender all to You. Won't you do that this morning? Stand our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Oh, we tried with all that we had this morning to give you the account of paradise and the people that God created on those days and where we are today. Not what is going on in the earth today, but what happened. What went wrong? That's what went wrong. Adam and Eve chose to be like God. Are you still being like that? You know you're in sin. You know you sinned. And you still say it's okay. You still haven't repented. You still haven't made it right. You're still backslidden. You're still cold. You're still away. And you're living like that. And you think everything's okay. It's not. It's time that you surrender and give God your heart and your life. It's time to come clean with God. It's time. You sing one verse, brother. Nobody comes, we'll call.